Welcome, this is New Kids on the Rock, where we pair longtime Islanders with newbies to find out what it means to call Vashon home. My name's Tara Morgan.
And I'm Adam Day. And we're here today with our guests, Eric and Jeremy, and Jeff Hoyt, who is also doing our sound engineering.
And just so everybody knows, we are here together in the studio, but we are socially distanced, masked, and well-protected, so hope you're all out there being safe, too. Today, we're going to just see and check in with Jeremy and Eric and Adam also, because they were our first episode's guests, and we're going to find out what they've found out in the last year. And Jeff is here as our long-timer to provide perspective.
How long is a long time, Jeff?
21 years.
21 years.
Oh, he's just a pup.
Still a baby Islander right here.
Yeah, if you ask any of the old-time families.
That's really not that long by Vashon standards.
That's true. That's true. Did you raise your kids here?
Ish. They were 6 and 8 when we moved over.
Right.
Yeah.
Great.
There was a serious objection. Our son, when he found out we were moving to Vashon, we didn't tell him. We bought a house before we ever announced it to the kids. And when we told Eli, he was 6 years old. And on the first day, you know, he got to pick out his bedroom in this new house. He was so excited. We thought, we pulled it off. Yeah. And that night, as we were clinking glasses to celebrate our perfect reveal of our decision to move to Vashon, we heard this plaintive wail from Eli's room that was just, no!
Oh, no.
As he realized he was leaving all his friends, and we had to console him and let him know that he could make new ones.
Oh, man.
Which he did.
Speaking of new friends, how's that been? Have you guys, all of you here, I'm also a newcomer, so I can chime in. But, you know, typically in the Pacific Northwest, we have what's called the Seattle Freeze. Have you experienced that here on Vashon?
That is hard to answer, I think, because we had a pandemic happen in the middle of our first year here. So we were so sequestered on our property that really didn't lend itself to meeting new people.
You know, it's interesting. I feel like I don't feel any kind of Seattle freeze or standoffishness here at all. But I also feel like everybody's pretty relaxed into their lives here. And so I haven't really made new friends, but it doesn't feel like, because people are kind of hard to get to know, if that makes sense. I don't know.
Totally.
You know, everyone's at the Thriftway just trying to shop.
Right. I've had the experience of being here as a single person and not having a partner. And I decided my approach was to jump into things like join the rowing team or volunteer, you know, here at the radio station, or do various things, so that I started meeting people. And I also was in a very public job when I first moved here. And I'm glad that I had those experiences going into the pandemic, because I don't quite know where I'd be, but luckily I have all of you, because I knew all of you in Seattle, or most of you in Seattle before. So, but I agree with you that I think people here are very dug into their traditions and their friend groups and their soup clubs or whatever they're doing, you know, whether it's the holidays or not. So that's hard to break into.
I feel like you have to get involved in an activity, some sort of thing that allows you to, you know, for you is rowing club. If you don't have like a club or a group or something, it can be hard to get that first, you know, introduction to someone who could lead to another introduction to someone. And, you know, it's,
Our experience was when we first got here, of course, we had kids who were in elementary school. So that is instant community, of course, because you're meeting all new parents, you're volunteering at the school, you're meeting parents through that. So we felt like, okay, we're plugged in, but then as we tried to, socialize, you know, invite people over, some of these new people we met, we did discover that a lot of folks kind of have their circles, multiple circles that are kind of entrenched, and it was difficult to establish ourselves in any of these groups right at first. But what you say about jumping in, you know, getting involved in rowing, we got here in 99. I was on the rowing team in 01, just 2 years later. And that was a super welcoming environment. And The radio station started in 2000. So just within a year after getting here, we had this little radio station I could work on.
Sure.
And so there were all these little volunteer opportunities. And that, I think, is the key.
Well, I think what that does is even in an urban context, I know if I volunteered for an organization, what would naturally happen is, hey, let's go for drinks after our shift. That does not happen here. But while you're in your shift, if you or your thing, if you really engage someone and make conversation, you'll at least get that social time. And then when you go home, if you don't have, you know, something going on, I feel fulfilled. I feel like I've gotten a good hit of friends or social time, even if there's not that, like, let's go have a drink or let's do something or making another plan that's not around that volunteer thing.
Well, that's funny. I was just thinking because I know you because of volunteering in Seattle.
Yeah, at the film festival Seattle. And I know Eric from being a patient, no, not me personally as a patient, but my cats as patients with Eric. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know Adam, but I knew Steven.
Yeah. Another thing that happens when you start to volunteer for things is that you get known as somebody who is giving of their time in that way. And so other people that are in that group that you're volunteering for might be part of some other group, and they may approach you or they may put the word out, hey, somebody new to move to the island, they're looking to make connections. And you may hear from somebody. Right when we first moved to the island, word got out that I had worked on a playground back in Seattle in Carkeek Park. I had volunteered to build a playground for our kids because we lived right outside the park. And so I wanted them to have a better playground. So we raised a bunch of money. We put this huge salmon slide into the park, and it was really cool. And then within 6 months after we broke ground on this new park in Seattle, we announced, we're moving to Vashon. But the word of that, I had told some people about that effort. And so there was a group that was putting in a climbing wall in the old Burton School, which is no longer there, up on Burton Hill. And they wanted to put in Vashon Parks wanted to put in a climbing wall. And they heard about my working on the playground. And so they contacted me and said, could you help out with this? And so, sure. I said, sure. And so a bunch of friends that I made early on, right after we first moved to the island, came about because of a volunteer effort back in Seattle where word got out that I had these skills.
Yeah.
And we built this climbing wall. And then they tore down the Burton School.
Perfect.
And it went away.
But you kept the friends.
Kept the friends. Didn't tear those down.
Well, I know, I came in and I'm just definitely a joiner. You know, I'm not shy about that. I'm totally a joiner. But I think there's also a balance there because then you're starting to get asked to do everything.
Yeah. If you have fundraising skills, some people will find you.
We'll edit this out.
Yeah.
This is going to get buried real deep in this episode.
So Eric, I wanted to ask you, you actually started to work on the island and have coworkers. You and I share that we've had coworkers on the island. Have you seen a community out of that?
We have a really good rapport, and we work a lot of long hours together, and quite frankly, I haven't seen them socially outside of the work environment. Not that I'm opposed to it. It's just I think we spend a lot of time together, and people have their own lives. And it has helped me feel more of a sense of community, just knowing, having that camaraderie and knowing people. Because there's one woman I work with, I think she's fourth generation Islander. And so she knows all the clients and she knows the history. And so I do feel connected in that way through her.
Yeah, it's also weird just with the pandemic because you don't know what's natural. You know, I don't think any of us were here long enough to really understand what's a natural Vashon thing and what's a pandemic Vashon.
Well, that's
thing.
The thing. I was just thinking yesterday, there's someone who's just started working there.
Yeah.
I don't know what he looks like.
Yeah.
So the next time I work, I'm going to ask him, it sounds silly, to step outside and can he pull his mask down so I can see his face? I've never seen his face. It's odd.
Yeah. So strange.
So, but I, you know, I'm finding that more and more now that Jeremy and I are hosting people at our place because the weather is nicer and we have plenty of porch space.
Huge yard.
And so, you know, like you guys, we're having more social distancing happy hours and such at our property. So that's been really nice.
Yeah. 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 I was just thinking, I think it makes a big difference. I know that like half of us here, I'm still working in Seattle. So right. There is that whole separation of working and living here that I think adds to more integration, maybe. I don't know.
And probably gives you a lot more time and social time and difference and variety also, you know, whereas I'm sitting in my house or nearby, you know.
Yeah.
And not working
with the
for
pandemic.
Money,
yeah.
You know.
Well, the other thing about living here is people that have intentionally moved here, I think, move here because it is rural living. Mm. So just by that sort of physical structuring of a lot of people live on property and land, we're not like bumping into our neighbors or walking down the sidewalk and seeing people like we are on Capitol Hill in Seattle.
Right.
So,
so
to make community here, I think, is a little more intentional, like you were saying, is joining a club or...
Right, and this is such an advocacy-oriented island.
It
if
is.
You have
it's
any
great.
Advocacy over any issue at all, that's your people, right? Food security,
yes.
Animal welfare. And I was thinking when this first started, I was like, we got this. Vashon Island, we know how to self-exile. We know how to self-isolate like gangbusters. This is basically what it feels like in the dead of winter.
Yeah, it's just winter.
No one's here. No one goes out.
The longest winter.
No one wants to go to the store for more than 45 minutes.
The government was like, you need to stay away from people. And Vashon was like, hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Yeah, no problem.
Well, you know, there's a central town. And there's really only one on the island that is a true gathering place.
Right. Yeah.
And when you think about the size of the island, I once actually wrote an article about this where I took Vashon Island and cut it out of a map and then superimposed it over the city of Seattle, sticking the main intersection at Bank Road and the highway on the Space Needle. And I thought, what would that look like?
Is it like as big as Queen Anne?
Oh, it's way bigger. The top, the north end of the island, the north end of the island touches up around 80th and Greenwood.
The
south end of the island actually touches Fauntleroy.
Wow.
Okay. Well, the island's 13 miles long, right?
Yeah.
So
Point Robinson, the lighthouse at Point Robinson touches the first exit onto Mercer Island off of I-90.
Wow.
If you superimpose.
Yeah.
So now picture living in Seattle and living, say, in West Seattle. And
with or without a bridge.
The island of West Seattle.
Yes.
Right, the new, they call it East Vashon now.
And imagine you have a friend up in, say, Ballard.
Mm-hmm.
And what are the odds that you're going to run into them and say hi somewhere around downtown Seattle? Like the odds of running into them are really low. Whereas on this island, there is this central gathering place. And so what we discovered over 21 years of living here is that you run into people you know all the time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so frequent, but it's only mostly because there is this central gathering area.
Mm-hmm.
And so in a way, you know, even though you might have, everybody is a neighbor in a sense, even though they might live 13 miles apart, which in Seattle, you're not neighbors with people who live 13 miles apart.
So, barely next door to you. I feel like a neighbor sometimes.
Right?
In Seattle.
Yeah, for sure.
That was one of the reasons we moved out here is because, you know, we lived on Capitol Hill for, I think, 7 years. And, you know, we literally didn't know the neighbors in our apartment complex, like right around us, like right next to us. I mean, we did make some friends in the building, but, you know, it's in 7 years, you know, only a few. And I think there's a different feeling here on Vashon when it comes to, like, it's, there's still a Seattle freeze, I feel like, but it's a different kind of Seattle freeze. It's more,
that's from the day trippers.
It's more like a, it's more like a community freeze. Like, it's like anyone that's off island or anything that's from off island has a little bit of like a, I'm going to be skeptical about you until you like kind of prove yourself.
It's interesting you bring that up because it may be a prickly topic, and there are people that live here full time. And then there are people that have second homes here, for example, that come, say, just on weekends.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering, is there a somehow a divide between those communities?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, for sure. But I've also had long-timers, you know, like, not Jeff, not that Jeff has said this, but long-timers have said to me, oh, now you have a problem with the second homeowners. Like, oh, you haven't been here long enough to have a problem with that.
Yeah.
You know, there's like a, there's definitely like, oh, you can't be bothered by that yet. Like, you, you don't have enough perspective.
Well, the first sunny day a couple weekends ago we had here, and town was so busy.
Oh, I had
I felt
away.
Like such a full-timer. You know, I felt so at home because I'm like, who are all these people coming into my town?
You feel so cranky. You're like, who are these people?
But then it struck me.
The NIMBYs.
Yeah. I've definitely stopped coming to town during the weekends on a nice weekend because I just can't handle it. But I think now people are way more mask. Well, they're wearing masks a lot more.
Oh, yeah.
And before it was really 50-50.
It was.
And that's true for the island population too. This is not exclusive to, you know, mass compliance. It's not exclusive to day trippers and folks.
Yeah.
Have you guys joined any online communities around Vashon? Like specific to Vashon?
I have several.
Really? Yeah. Who?
The Vashon Fruit Club.
Oh. Well, you got involved in that right away.
Vashon Chicken Lovers.
Oh, I'm on Chicken Love. Yep. I'm on Chicken Love.
Vashon Beekeepers.
Oh, my gosh.
Are you a beekeeper?
I am.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
Yeah,
see, five that's hives how you right get now. To know people.
Five hives right now. Yeah.
Plants and animals.
And you're on Vashon Farm Group.
Vashon Farm Group.
Yep, yep, I'm on that one too.
Vashon Amateur Gardeners.
Oh,
wait, there's an Amateur Gardeners? Yes. I want to be on that one.
I need to get on that.
Who knew?
Yeah. I don't even know these groups, and I've been here 20 years.
Wow.
It's amazing, but it just speaks to how Facebook? Right it was to move to Vashon, because these are all these things that I'm interested in.
Right.
And look, there's a group right here.
Yeah, yeah. And the Chicken Love people are pretty awesome. That's
great.
A pretty awesome group. Yeah.
You know, we used to have a chicken coop tour.
Oh, wow.
Ooh, it was like a catio tour.
Yeah, yeah. Oh. It lasted for 4 or 5 years, I think.
That'd be interesting.
Yeah, and it was all just, you know, they gave you a map, and you could, and they were wide open that day, and you would just go around, and you look at everybody's chicken coops.
We did that in Seattle once. They had a TILF, the Seattle TILF did a urban farm tour.
Yes.
It was
yes.
really fun, and you know, you drive past houses all the time and you just look at the front yard. You don't realize that they could have like an intricate goat walk behind their house.
What?
Or like, you know, crazy chicken coop that looks like, you know, Buckingham Palace or, you know, there's just random things that people put in their backyards for farm animals. So I also got involved in the community council, which has been all online since the since the virus started.
And this is in the new community council.
This is the new community council.
When was it formed?
It was formed, I think, in... Well, technically... So this is a complicated question. It's, like, it's been around for a really long time in some iteration, but it had a gap where the island didn't have anything because of some drama that happened.
Oh, yeah.
Is there drama on this island?
Yeah.
Is there drama? I hadn't noticed.
There was high drama. As a matter of fact, we...
There was mask drama.
I don't know if you guys were around long enough to see this show that used to be around in 2012. From 09 to 12, it was called Church of Great Rain. And it was a comedy variety show.
Yeah.
I was one of the players in the cast. And we used to do sketch comedy, kind of Saturday Night Live style comedy on stage at Open Space about whatever is going on the island. And we got so much mileage out of the drama around the community.
We should find some footage or some audio footage of that, because pretty awesome.
Yeah, it was low-hanging fruit. It was pretty good.
So you're involved now, and I would imagine you might be on the younger side of the folks participating in
that. I mean, they have made a really strong point of getting people from the high school to participate. So there are a couple high schoolers who are on the community council group, and that's really good to see. But unfortunately, I know this is probably common for a lot of island nonprofits, but the high schoolers eventually leave most of the time. So it's hard to get, you know, young people to stay involved. And then there's a gap, you know, between high school and when people come back to the island.
Mm-hmm. Is this like a city council, like an elected city council, or is it volunteer?
What's
the background?
So it used to be a government-sponsored program, which is what caused a bunch of headaches for the group, because it opened them up to a bunch of legal problems that arose related to public records and having open meetings, and it's super complicated legal stuff. And it just kind of, the legal stuff got to be, to boil it down to like something that's much more complicated, but the legal stuff got to be so much of the discussion that all of the other things kind of fell to the wayside. So it stopped being a productive
place. What ended it.
Yeah.
Tore it down.
But you know, it's a nonprofit now, so it's not going to be something that is like open, you know, they're still going to try to keep meetings open, and you know, it's a place for community to have a voice, where, you know, we have groups right now like the Chamber of Commerce that, you know, they're a huge island resource, but obviously focused on businesses. And, you know, you have like some nonprofit groups, but no, like one nonprofit group to speak for all of the nonprofit groups. And you have like, it's very like disconnected. There's a lot of good things, a good support networks, but not a central location for the community to come together and discuss things. So
it's, community council was never nothing that they ever decided was ever binding. It wasn't like, we've made this decision and we will do this. It was only back when they were connected to King County. It was basically, we have been talking about this and we recommend you consider. And often King County would respond. And there was a good collaborative relationship for a long time, and it was a really effective group for a very long time. And then all the drama happened. And I think that they're largely trying to get back to some kind of status to where they can talk about important community issues and be able to make decisions that not necessarily are going to be rules, like they're going to happen, but they are suggestions, recommendations.
Yeah, and we've been, and there's been some representatives from the county who've been present at most of the meetings. So it's, and they are very thankful because they right now get a bunch of stuff from the community, but like no filter, no sense of whether or not it's a community-wide priority or just like a really vocal person who's very passionate about one specific thing. So they're looking, you know, they look for that because there's no, there is nothing like that on the island right now, which is very interesting for such a politically and you know, just in a very involved place like Vashon.
So I'm curious what everyone thinks. What are the community issues here?
There was a list actually that was published of the like top six that they're dealing with. And the thing that really kind of got me fired up, and I wouldn't say in a good way, is a light at the four-way.
Oh,
I was like, oh, no, ma'am. Like that would just, I mean, it's already backed up. Like,
that's been on and off for years.
Really?
I figured that was an old issue coming back up. Anyway, sorry. So what else is on the list, you know?
Oh, there's a bunch of stuff. But yeah, there was a discussion. Those were just some very initial thoughts and questions people had about, you know, for the county. So it wasn't like, this is what our goal is going to be. But I think there was a discussion of, because of the virus and the need for social distancing, could we shut down the small strip of road, like in the very down, right in front of the studio here, because you could then have all the restaurants move tables out into the road.
Into the street.
And, you know, there is the bypass.
Gabeel Road,
And, you know, it's a great opportunity, I think, to improve community. And this is something that places across the state are doing right now. Seattle's been doing it for a while with their parklets. I think the kind of the point of it, but more like, hey, how can we help island businesses, you know, who can't do indoor seating, like have space for people and have.
And this would only be for the summer. Because you can't have tables out there in the winter.
Yeah.
So why not? You know, why not?
I could see the neighbors who are going to have the traffic going for their houses probably not being very happy about it.
Yeah. As someone who lives on Vashon Highway, I have a very small violin that I'm playing right now.
Oh my God. I was at your house for all of 3 hours and I was like, how do you do this?
Yeah.
Because I saw you trying to back out the other day.
Yes. Yeah. That's a very big challenge for me to back out of the driveway. Cause we're on the hill as you come up from the ferry. And
right
so,
next to we won't say where you live, but
yeah, please don't.
Keep it private. Confidential show.
Yeah. But yeah, no, people love to speed up that hill. Yeah. So they're going like 45 into 35, and it's hard to pull out of your driveway, your gravel driveway with your truck.
That's always been a thing. It's that race to get to the place where the lanes merge.
Yes,
right.
We are near there.
And you get to that spot. You get ahead of that car that you're trying to beat to that spot, and it means you're going to get to the stop sign 5 seconds earlier.
You and all the other people who run.
Yeah.
I bet it's fun when the like 50 motorcycles get off the ferry.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's a couple that are like, oh, you've clearly modified your motorcycle to be super loud.
I love you having this commentary from your yard.
Yeah.
And the ducks are
screaming and then, you know, shaking the fist in the air. But we are also like, I don't know what it is, but I think it's for the whole island. This is another topic from the community council, but the airplane noise.
Oh, can you tell everybody what your ducks do?
Oh yeah,
when the airplanes go by.
Yeah, our ducks are pretty smart about like predators, and so they like keep an eye on the sky, and we're right under the flight path, and every time the planes fly by, the ducks, because they have really bad vision, they have to tilt their heads to see what's flying over them to like make sure it's not like an eagle or a hawk. Yeah. And they're terrified of the airplanes. Huh. And they look up constantly because the airplanes, is it an airplane or is it an eagle? Like,
is that a 737? Yeah. Right. Bombardier.
And we had, I think they're redoing the test flights and stuff for the Boeing.
It has gotten so
they're doing like crazy maneuvers over the island too. I've seen flying very low.
I had a friend who got the app to find out what that plane is when it's flying over, because you can see on an app. And she's just like watching this. This is like a hobby now. Because back in the beginning of COVID, it was so quiet. It was so lovely and quiet and
9/11-esque.
It really was 9/11-esque.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Speaking of your ducks, so you have how many ducks?
We have two ducks, and Lois has started laying eggs, which is great.
Ooh, sign me up.
Yeah, and they're great for baked goods.
Yes, they're very rich.
And they're the sweetest ducks. I just left them in the kiddie pool in the yard with a bunch of peas. It's like their favorite thing to do is like peas and
like diving for peas
in the kiddie pool out in the yard. This is a very Vashon thing.
I'm like, you are fully
assimilated.
When
I tell
now.
My city friends this is what my life is, they're like half jealous and half like just laughing at me.
It's like when I told my friend last week that I was trying to make quinoa crackers, she was like, the assimilation is complete.
You have come full Vashon.
Wearing like overalls with
you
nothing
will be
underneath.
Missed.
And you guys have stacked your animal population now. You've added 5 hives of bees.
We have 5 hives and 6 chickens so far, and we're about to fence in our pasture and hope to get some both animals soon.
No murder hornets?
No murder hornets.
Good.
No.
Are you going to get a goat?
Yeah, we want to get some goats.
Oh, yeah. Does the old goat rescue lend out or sell out goats?
Old goat rescue.
Have you been to old goat rescue?
I've not been there. I'm on her her page.
Be careful, the fence is electric. Oh. I made that mistake.
Oh. I got very excited to say hi to the goat, and I was like, oh no.
I enjoy it when Jeremy tries to test our electric fence around the chicken coop. It works.
Yeah.
So both of your households, I live in a rental in Burton, but both of you own your homes, and you have done incredible modifications both outside and in. How's been your experience to work with on island, maybe even just resources? Like, how do I do this thing and finding out, or maybe like hiring someone? The word on the street is it's hard to find people to come and do work on your house that will A, actually show up, or B, call you back. But how's been your experience? I know you, Adam, you and Steven are big DIYers. You built kind of a lot on your property, and you guys too, all your raised beds and fencing, and it's been incredible. How's
Bridge
it,
and a woodshed. And,
yeah. How's it been working with the sort of the tradespeople of the community?
Well, I don't think it's any different than the city, actually, in terms of getting people to come out and return your phone calls. Mm-hmm. What I've found to be true in this year is that I have found my people. So I have like a go-to person for fencing. I have a go-to person for trees. So that's been sort of developed, I think, in getting to know.
Did you find those people, or were they recommended to you by others?
Both.
And now you're holding those cards close to your chest.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, everybody. Yeah, now everybody knows.
I've heard that.
Who they are.
There is a bit of the show up time, which I've had to be like. I guess it's Vashon time.
It's Vashon
like
time.
10 could be maybe closer to 11 or 11:30, or you know.
Yeah.
So there's a little bit of like I was thinking just there's today, that. Even just getting coffee. I was thinking today, like, I just can't. This motto of just like it's. Gonna happen when it happens. Like that was kind of. I was like, maybe that's a Vashon thing. I don't know. It's just like, it's gonna happen when it happens. Just chill out.
That is the motto of Kathy at the Burton Coffee Stand. I think inadvertently, because I've watched people literally lose their minds in line at Burton Coffee Stand because they're day trippers or they're coming off the ferry to be somewhere. And it will happen when it happens at Burton Coffee Stand. Yeah. Part of the joy of being there is just stare into space. Get off your phone. Don't sit on your phone, but stare literally into space. Mm-hmm. And it will happen eventually. Mm-hmm. It's not the city where it's like, you know, they throw in the pull in the coffee and stuff. But that's a great perspective. I think that comes with time when you live here for a while that you're like, it's not quite island time. Like, that's a different concept, I think.
Yeah.
It's more like, just take a minute. Yeah.
And even if you call someone, they can be to you within 20 minutes, right? Depending where you are in the island.
Right.
So if they're on the south end and you're north or vice versa.
Yeah.
So it's...
Like today, we had somebody come over to look at a job and, you know, it's supposed to be there at 10. It was 10:15. I called them. They're like, oh, I couldn't find your number and I'm heading down now. And I think previously in my previous city life, that would have been like, what the hell? We had an appointment at 10.
Yeah, but you should have been here at 9:55.
Like, it's fine. Okay. We'll see you when you get here. And
Yeah, I had that same thing happen with some yard maintenance, and it was like an hour and a half after the time that they said they'd be there. And I was like, and the unfortunate thing is it is a double edged sword because you also have to live by ferry times. So if you need someone there at a certain time and you have to be on a certain ferry to get off the island for something, like there's not really a whole lot of wiggle room. So it's like, it's a thing we're having to learn still.
And you guys actually have probably more experiences than I do of having to be on a certain ferry to go somewhere. Like you have to be at work or you have to be at an appointment. I know I've just, I think when people ask me what ferry I'm going to be on, it's going to be the next ferry. If that happens, you know, whenever it happens. I know during COVID, I haven't had to like be somewhere at a certain time, at all. It's just been very casual or very, the hard schedule hasn't been as intense for me, I think.
Not only is it catching the right ferry, but it's also now navigating West Seattle,
and the two boat schedule
commute And the what?
The two-boat schedule.
Yeah, that's right. Been a really big inconvenience, especially with the increased traffic during the weekends from people off-island coming to visit the island, is that we're still on winter sailing schedule.
Yeah, I ended up in Southworth the other day.
I know, that tempted me.
Oh, I was like, wait a second, where are we going?
Where are we going? We're going backwards.
You were on the 45-minute.
I was. Ah. I didn't mean to be on it, and I'd had a long day in the city. Well, I was in West Seattle. I won't say I was in the city, but yeah, West Seattle's become my new East Vashon because I've been there twice in the last week.
I don't even think about going to the regular Seattle anymore.
I've been there once since January.
Yeah.
Past West Seattle once. I'm in Burien, of course, because of that wonderful Burien shopping center with PCC and Trader Joe's. Mm. And it's a surface lot.
Yeah.
Gold.
Burien in West Seattle as a destination now is a thing. And also, we live mid-island, and if there's something we need that's over town, we are definitely making that town Tacoma now.
Interesting.
Where we don't go to Seattle because everything's there, mm-hmm. and it's much less traffic. It's a much more chill town anyway.
And they have everything. They have Safeway. They have Trader Joe's.
They've got it all.
Costco. They've got everything.
But the ferry, of course, is different on the south end. It's half the size and goes every hour.
Exactly, but it doesn't fill up that often. So it's pretty rare that it fills up, and.
That's good to know.
Let's talk about pivots. Yeah. Like some of your favorite pivots on the island. Vashon Theater doing online rentals of really obscure and sometimes really interesting films. That's what I've noticed.
Oh, great. I haven't checked that out.
Yeah.
I worry about the theater because that is really, one of those businesses that, who knows how long it's going to be before we can get into a theater again. And
or VCA,
even then, how many can get into the theater?
It's right,
at least
right.
half.
But honestly, I'd pay more just to, just to go to a movie.
I think most would. Yeah.
Here at a locally owned theater,
sure,
not in a chain situation. Yeah, but
I grew up in a town that didn't have a movie theater, and as a kid, it's kind of devastating. And like honestly, people get into bad stuff if you don't have stuff to do like that. And I think those things are definitely important for community fabric.
Yeah, I miss that a lot. I think they've done a nice pivot with the online stuff, but it'd be nice if they could figure out every other seat or...
Mm-hmm. They're just not allowed. Yeah, it's the governor's orders.
Especially now.
Well, they also did the open air,
they do have the
outdoor movie.
Outdoor
movie. No space, right?
Yep.
Yeah, has anybody been to that?
I have not.
I haven't checked it out yet, but apparently it's going pretty well.
Good.
That's great.
Well, we have seen a lot of businesses paper up their windows, and that's hard, I think, to see when you drive down. But as a result of that, they've done some major remodels, like Sporty's. Mm-hmm. Totally remodeled.
I haven't seen Inside Sporty's. I'll have to go.
No, you have
in.
To walk by. So who else? The hardware store remodeled.
I haven't seen that either.
I haven't seen the hardware store inside either.
The booths are smaller. They're not booths for 12 anymore. They're more like booths for 4.
Gotcha.
So at Camp Colvos, we're sitting here looking across at Camp Colvos. Is wonderful, big, giant outdoor space that they made. Mm-hmm. And Snapdragon also has pivoted to have outdoor space.
Yeah,
and they set up the Black Cat Cabaret as the Vashon Live venue.
Yes,
Has been really, really cool thing. They've got robotic cameras in there, and they've got a director out in a truck outside who runs the show and moves the cameras automatically. And then various performers, storytellers. They've done over 100 shows out of that space. Really creative.
Awesome.
And high quality. I mean, you've seen a lot of Zoom quality performances and things where you have to deal with the audio quality that Zoom allows. Whereas over here with Vashon Live, they're really putting out excellent audio quality that they can put up online.
Are they recorded afterwards to view or not?
They often
miss them.
You can stream them. Okay. I don't know it's probably vashonlive.com, but I don't know for sure that that's it.
I think they've archived all of them.
Yeah.
They've been, and it's been everybody from high school students to longtime professional musicians on the island.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, I think technology really has been so instrumental in how people have adapted to the pandemic. Yeah. Like Zoom.
Who knew?
Right. I mean, I'm teaching now on Zoom and having meetings on Zoom, which thankfully keeps me on the island more.
That's right.
You know, because I was going to Portland every other month to teach, and now still teaching, still doing it, but get to stay on the island.
And you two are on the island way more.
We're on the island way more as well. And, you know, this is another thing that I think, you know, the community here is definitely resistant to change, unless it's something that's like a pent up demand that the community like uniformly agrees needs to happen. Mm-hmm. But I think it's been interesting and will be interesting to see the effect that either people who didn't spend as much time here on the island, who want to spend more time here on the island now that they're essentially required to, and the people who, you know, may have thought, well, Vashon isn't a place where I can live because I'll have to commute, but may not have to anymore because so many businesses are going full telecommute.
Yeah.
And that's something that I think the island will eventually have to come to grips with. And you know, probably there will have to be some compromises because of all the people that are coming to the island who I don't think could have come to the island before, but now want to.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of things for sale just in the last couple of days driving around. There's been a lot more inventory.
Well, and the more you can stay on the island, the less you have to deal with the lack of West Seattle Bridge.
Yeah.
Yes.
So,
yeah. And so truthfully, West Seattle has everything you need, you know, just like Tacoma would.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And Tacoma, I think that Point Defiance area, that Point Reston area has also been a nice escape if you want to walk on and walk off. Like that Point Defiance Park is closed to cars. It's really lovely over there. Just as a way to mix it up. I think that's one thing I've been looking for is how to mix it up without spending a ton of money and how to just like see something different.
Yeah.
I also haven't had many people come to the island. They've shown a lot of respect for the fact that we're a small community and then been like, you know, we don't want to come and, you know, potentially taint the water or something like that.
Yeah.
I may have missed this drama, but I was glad that Vashon, at least my experience was, I saw little burblings of it, but this, I was afraid there'd be a big anti-Seattle push with the virus and making, you know, sure, people are not coming here. And I know people felt that way, but in general, I felt like it never went really far in that direction.
I think probably because we still have people working in Seattle and they're going back and forth every day on the PO boat and or on the ferry. And so you can't really, or especially during Black Lives Matter marches too, like people who are going off island to go march and these, you know, 66,000 people marches, which there are happening this weekend as well.
That's right.
I know there was a little bit of concern about that just coming back and forth. And
It is something that I wonder if, you know, people visiting here, yes, but also newcomers. Like now, I mean, you know, what are they experiencing? People who are just moving here for the first time and don't have any connections. I mean, I imagine that's even harder to connect.
Mm. Yeah, I had a guest DJ with me last time I did my show, the Dear Vashon show, and she had moved here in March. And she's 26 years old. She's here with her boyfriend, partner. And they've struggled because it's just the two of them. You know, when you relocate, like you tend to rely very heavily on your person if you're relocating. And I met her in Island Center Forest parking lot. She liked my truck and so it struck up a conversation. And so, you know, a little bit of a new friend, but I can't imagine what that would be like.
Yeah. And I also feel bad. Like there's kind of like a little bit of a responsibility, you know, now that, you know, I've been here a year. Like, I would love to socialize with newbies to the island and just kind of be like, yeah, like, these are all the fun things. And, you know, hopefully we can kind of, you know, be that resource for people in by speaking about it here instead of doing it in, you know, in person.
But. Well, that was a big inspiration for this show. When Adam and I were talking about this show was that there's a lot of ways for us to connect and get word out. And some of them maybe need to be a little bit more passive. Like people need to just sit and listen to something rather than be forced into a situation where they're interacting socially or, you know, they maybe just want to sit and listen. So that's a big part of the show. Well, we're going to start wrapping up.
Yeah.
And we are going to do a little bit of a rapid fire and we'll go around. And Jeff, you're in on this as well. Mm-hmm. So we'll start with the bigger question. What's your top lesson you would say you've learned and or advice you would give to someone who is going to move here, say, next weekend?
Be patient because you're not going to meet a lot of people for a while, at least right now.
Right.
But be patient and get involved where you can.
Adam.
So I think my biggest piece of advice is that people need to have like physical activities that are social during the winter, because it is real dark on the island without city lights, and it can be isolating. So that's the biggest thing I learned, is that you need to have like an anchor during the winter here, even if it's like a social meetup, you know, that's like a go grab beers once a week to talk about the island, or go grab coffee once a week, like we did before the virus hit. Yeah. You know, those things are so important. Having a, you know, group, a social group, because it can be isolating in the winter.
Eric?
I would say keep remembering why you are here, what draw you to the island is this really, it's a special place, and to keep reminding yourself of that, to slow down, that it's a different pace here than probably where you've come from, if you've come from the city. My advice to myself and to everyone would be to get outside as much as you can.
Yeah,
no matter what the weather or climate, just get outside, walk. There's so many great places to hike and walk. And,
yeah.
Or just to get outside.
Yeah. Yep. There's the mind. Yep. Jeremy?
That all the bakeries are closed on Mondays.
Critical.
Yeah. That's true. But yeah, that concept of take it when it comes, you know, somebody told me that no one can ever figure out when Pure is open, and I'm a huge Pure fan, and it's true. I never can figure out when it's open. And someone said, well, you know how I approach it is that I go there, and if it's open, that's a treat. Like, yay, that's a treat. Mm-hmm. I would say get involved in stuff. Say yes to a lot of things, not maybe for long periods of time, but I know I've been delivering for the food bank on Thursdays, and that's not something I had ever thought I would do. But it's just been a joy. And what's cool about it is I get to drive down all these crazy dirt roads down to these deep hobbits of Vashon, which has been really fun. Okay, restaurant.
Restaurant, Casa Bonita.
Maze.
Sugar Shack.
Oh, Sugar Shack. Yeah, that's double Sugar Shack.
Snapdragon.
Those are all good.
Favorite road?
Favorite road, Luana Beach Road.
Ooh, pass.
Wax Orchard.
Oh, wow. Pass. I'm a newbie. I have to pass.
I'm going to say 216th. Off of 203rd, the little curvy road that goes up to around where Jed Creek trailhead is. Oh. It's beautiful by bike and beautiful by car. Favorite coffee. Who makes the favorite coffee?
I'm a Burton Coffee Stand veteran from day one.
You know, I really loved Pollard's Coffee. I'm sad that they left.
I'm not much of a coffee drinker, but Thriftway.
You're definitely not a coffee drinker. I love that you walked away from your microphone. Jeremy,
I always called it Pollard. Is it Pollard? Pollard.
I think it's Pollard.
Pollard. Yeah. I don't know.
Two L's.
I just got some from what I call the new Pollard, and it's still good.
Nice. Favorite cookie or pastry?
Oh, cookie or pastry. The cinnamon rolls at Snapdragon are hard to top.
Yeah, so many good ones to choose from. I would say there's this really good cinnamon twist that the Vashon Baking Company has that is so good. Mm. I could eat so good.
Yeah.
I guess Island Bakery, they have like a raspberry bar that's really good.
The Berserker bar. Yeah, from Vashon Baking Company.
Yeah,
Island Bakery. God, I don't even know the name.
I would say I would go a second on the cinnamon rolls from Snapdragon. That's there's no butter in those. I mean,
Okay. I take them intravenously.
Yeah. Favorite island activity could be something that you miss or something that you currently do.
Rowing in boats with my friends.
That's something that you miss.
That's something that I miss.
That's great.
Yeah. A lot.
Me too. Yeah.
I miss the gym. Yeah, that's been it. We've joined CrossFit on the island, which is awesome. They're doing socially distant exercising, but I do miss going to the gym on my own and the pool and the hot tub at the gym.
Yeah. What was the question? I miss
favorite activity that you do, or that it might be something that you love to do on the island, but you can't do anymore.
One of the favorite things, bird watching.
Nice.
Here on the island. It's amazing.
I haven't really done one yet. I want to get out on the water more, I was telling you.
Like, yes.
End up paddleboarding or something.
Yes. Props to Vashon Water Sports. They have a nice pivot happening with kayak paddleboard. I'm going to say swim because I am a devotee of the Vashon Island Park District pool, which took the dome off. And we get to swim out in the sunshine. I just came from there before this. God. And
I was wondering where you got that nice tan.
I was like, yes, I'm brown as a berry. But it's like being in California. It really makes me, reminds me of being like in Palm Springs. And I just feel so just wonderful. And it's a saltwater chlorine pool, so it's not pure chemically. Okay, favorite beach?
KVI.
I don't know. Winghaven Park has like a cute little beach area near it.
Winghaven.
I haven't been to many, but KVI I really like.
Yeah.
I have not been yet.
Okay. I'm going to say...
You live on an island and you've not been to a beach yet?
I find them hard to get to here.
You haven't even been to Point Robinson?
He lives right above Spring Beach, which is a private community.
The lighthouse? The lighthouse. I've been there. That was really nice.
Oh, the lighthouse, Point Robinson.
I still think of a beach as like a big
I know.
I'm like, that was a rocky shore. Yeah.
With drinks with umbrellas.
I found the best beach, and I will take you all there. Oh. It's on, you go on the Redding's Beach Loop trail or road. You know, it's a walking thing that people do. It's kind of like Barton. And you take a hard right off of that down this long hill. And there is this really nice beach down there that's just got big logs to sit on and hanging out. I'm also a Fern Cove fan, but man, Fern Cove at low tide is super stinky and super gooey. But I'm going to say Redding's Beach. Is it called Redding's Beach?
Yeah.
Okay. A tractor just drove by the window just in case anyone was curious, you know, just for those who can't see.
Favorite hike?
Oh, favorite hike. I'm going to go Shingle Mill Creek.
Shingle Mill Creek is also my favorite hike.
Gosh, I haven't been on many at all. I enjoyed when we went to Island Center.
Yes, Island Center is nice.
I missed that. Shout out for Lost Lake hike trail.
That's pretty cool. Yeah.
We went on that one. Jeremy and I went on that one together. That's fantastic. I'm a Shingle Mill fan. Start at the bottom, go up, and come down to the car. It's a great workout. Favorite aisle at Thriftway?
That's good.
I'm going to go tomato products. Just because I know nobody else
cereal will. Slash breakfast aisle. It's not that exciting, but they do have this really good selection of like variety of pancake mixes, including buckwheat pancakes, which are my favorite.
My favorite aisle is
you know so you have many. Is it the sock aisle? The socks and potato chips aisle?
Yes.
Oh, that's a good one.
I mean,
that is a good aisle.
Chips, but I'm often in the aisle with like sugar and all that one.
The baked goods.
Because you're a baker,
Socks and potato chips.
Yeah, the socks and potato chips aisle.
Together at last.
Yes.
Yeah. Is that yours?
That was mine. I was going to say textile. But yeah, that kind of like weird little, you know, home product.
Sundries.
It's one of the best sock selections I've seen. They're really good socks.
Mm-hmm. Good prices.
It's legit socks. Yeah. It's like a mini REI in our grocery store.
A mini REI. And the parachute rope at the end of the aisle, which is so random, but it's so like I'm so tempted every time because
it's
so
good. Dish towels are good there.
The dish towels, yes. But I'm going to say bulk food for me. I'm a big bulk food fan. And now you can do it on your own, which like they make all these. Anyway, it's complicated, but I love bulk food. And then last question, favorite guilty pleasure on the island?
Oh, come back to me.
Okay, pass.
Vashon pizza is probably my...
Never had it.
The Island Bakery.
Yeah.
During my lunch break.
You work really close to that.
There, so it's deadly.
Coffee and a chocolate chip cookie from, what do you call it? Vashon Island Coffee Roasters.
Oh, yeah. Oh, gosh. Okay.
Now we've got you thinking about all these good things.
Starving. Okay, so I'm a gluten-free person by choice, not by needing it. But in the moments that I need like some gluten, it's that cheese, and I don't eat dairy either.
Oh,
it's
no.
The cheese onion roll at Snapdragon.
Mm.
You know that one?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
It weighs like 3 pounds,
yeah.
And
oh,
it's
man.
So dense and
you're
so
like,
thick.
Is this a scone or is this a roll? Or...
I regret it for days, but it is so good in the moment.
I've got
so
mine.
Good. Okay, what?
Wednesday breakfast with my rowing buddies at Sporty's.
Oh. Yes.
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 A breakfast at Sporty's is an experience. Whether you should be doing it weekly, I'm not so sure.
I don't think
at least accompanied with exercise.
Though they come from rowing, so I think that's how they justify it.
We just cancel the calories out instantly.
Exactly.
Like by just walking in the door.
Also, Thriftway has, and this might be my favorite aisle, actually, at changing my favorite aisle, they have a like secret dessert section over by the bread.
Yes, they
like
do.
To the right to of the right. bread.
What?
Mm-hmm. And it's full of these like really amazing pies, and they have like the most amazing Nanaimo bars, which
oh,
is
god,
one of my like
Nanaimo
secret
bars.
Like favorite. Like oh god, so good. Anyway,
about this.
So good. Well, thanks everybody for coming. This has been New Kids on the Rock. This is episode 3. We are hoping to do more episodes. So if you are a newcomer or a long-timer on the island and you'd like to share your words of wisdom and help us in our quest to make Vashon feel like home for everyone, we'd love to hear from you. You can email us at newkidsontherockvashon@gmail.com. Thanks, everybody, for coming.
Oh, thank you for having us.
Thanks.
Bye.